Let's take our Bibles and turn this morning, please, to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78. You have an abbreviated title in your bulletin. We're going to expand that title just a little bit, but it won't be hard to expand because it's going to come right from our passage of Scripture. And the title of this morning's message is this: How to Help Our Children Set Their Hope in God. How to Help Our Children Set Their Hope in God. Let me go ahead and read verses 1 through 7 of Psalm 78, and I believe when we get to verse 7, you'll see where that title comes from. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and know, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He, verse 5, established the testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Shall we pray? Our Father, we are now at the heart of our service as we are opening up Your word that has been given to us, and it's Thy word which communicates to us Your thoughts and the intents for you that You have for us. And so we pray, Father, that as Your word is open and as Your servant preaches it, that You might bless it richly in helping us to understand it and apply it today. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Last August, my wife and I had the opportunity to go up to Canada, which was pretty unusual. We haven't been able to travel out of the country together, and it was a joy to go up there. And we had a twofold purpose in going up. Number one, we went to Saskatoon, Canada, where we had some previous staff of Victory Baptist Church that were serving in their first year of ministry as missionaries there. Brad and Chris Young and their children are ministering up there and doing a good job working along with another Canadian pastor, and things are really growing. In fact, they've actually started a second work now and see what the Lord's going to do in that great growing town. And then we drove with them from Saskatoon over to Alberta, where we had a couple performed a wedding there. The young man was from the church in Florida, and the young lady was from that area of Alberta, and their family was in transition regarding the church, so they asked if we would go up and perform the wedding, and we had opportunity to do that. We tacked on a couple of extra days and stayed at a hotel in Alberta, and whenever we stay in a hotel, we like to do channel surfing. I don't know about you, but we don't have cable at home, so we very, very seldom watch TV at all. And when we're in a hotel room, I like to surf the channels. My wife hates it that I surf the channels. And I can read a channel quicker than she can. So she goes, wait a minute, what was that? I didn't even see that. Of course, she's usually doing handwork in the process anyway. And I say, well, I'm protecting you. I'm keeping you safe. And one of the things that we came across that we found very enjoyable was this. And I couldn't understand the total context of the culture difference in America and Canada. Not a great difference, but enough of a difference I couldn't understand it completely. But apparently they had had a Canadian Olympics. And in the Canadian Olympics, they were showing the opening ceremony for that event. And it struck me because in showing the opening ceremony, they were passing a torch from one person to another in order to light the Olympic dish and start the actual competition. But the way they did it was in this fashion. They started with the youngest Olympian who had ever won any kind of medal, and they described what that Olympian did as they were running around the course, and then they passed it to the next oldest one, and then they passed it to the next oldest one and the next oldest until they actually got to those at the end that were over 60 and had won their medals years ago. And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, Lord, this is exactly what You're trying to do, but only in reverse in the Christian faith and in the church. You are asking us to pass the torch, but not necessarily from the youngest up to the oldest, but rather pass the torch, what? From the oldest down to the youngest. And it's a big responsibility. And as I thought about that, And as I was reading scripture, I came across Psalm 78, and I said, Lord, you are so gracious, because in this psalm, you teach us how to pass that torch from one generation to another generation to keep that gospel light shining and to keep a testimony for Jesus Christ. Folks, people need to be saved today just as much as they needed to be saved back in the 20s and 30s. Can I hear an amen? As much as they needed to in the 50s and 60s, amen, and the 70s and 80s. And yet today, it seems like the torch is kind of being dropped along the way because people are losing their verse 7, hope in God. Well, God instructs us here in this Old Testament passage of the Psalms how to help our children set their hope on God and how to help our children accept that torch and pass it on even to their children in the days ahead. Now, how do we do that? Well, let me give you a couple of introductory comments. First of all, you will notice in verse 7, we're starting at the end of the passage, it says this, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The definition of the word set is this, to place with care or deliberate purpose and with relative stability. To place with care and deliberate purpose and relative stability. God wants us to be able to help our children set with deliberate purpose their hope in God. Now, we're not ignorant of this fact that today we find out that many young people that are raised under good spiritual leadership and guidance are walking away from the faith rather than adhering to the faith. They are, may I say it this way, setting their faith aside instead of setting their faith to abide. There's a big difference there, isn't there? And the scripture that we're going to look at this morning is encouraging young people to do what? Set their faith and abide by it rather than set their faith aside. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about our young people who went to camp this summer and how they've just returned and how they are on what I would call a spiritual high. They've been up at camp and they've been in an isolated environment. They've not had any television, they've not had any movies, they've not had any distractions. They've been able to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. They've been able to have faithful staff live their life for the Lord in front of them, pray with them, encourage them. Believe me, I've worked camps and it's kind of a spiritual high. Then you come down off the mountain, literally, and you come back into the world and it's like all these things kind of snatch that away. Well, they don't have to. If we do what? If we, verse 7, that he set their hope in God. Older people as well as younger people. Older people and their children as well as older people and their children's children can set deliberate purpose their hope in God. Now what's the idea of the word hope? Well, the idea of the word hope is this. It's a feeling of expectation and desire for certain things to happen. It's the idea of a feeling of expectation or desire for certain things to happen. More importantly even, it's the idea of a feeling of trust. And what we're doing in this verse is looking at it and saying, God is going to give us some steps in verse 1 down through verse 6 to be able to pass the torch of faith from one generation to another, that they might set, have a deliberate purpose and a stability in putting their hope, their expectation and desire and feeling of trust in God who never fails. Now, according to this passage of scripture, it should work beautifully. So let's go back now and examine the steps that help it to work beautifully. As we go back and look at the steps, we also want to be reminded of a couple of things. Number one is this. Francis Schaeffer said this, give me a child for the first 7 years and you may do what you want with him afterward. It's very important to be able to establish a child's years in such a way that they can set their hope in God. That means that we as the older generation need to not allow discouragement with the world or personal events to rob us of our hope in God. Oftentimes we as Christians, even though we know the Lord, we love the Lord, we're faithful to the Lord, yet the world events and personal events in our own life often cause us to live like we don't hope and trust in Him. We also need, as the older generation, to pass that hope and trust on to the next generation. We need to have some deliberate steps we follow that'll influence our children and our children's children to walk with the Lord. And then lastly, we need to make sure that young people, even as in our congregation this morning, take the responsibility of accepting that torch and having it and holding it and then passing on to the next generation. A lot of times when we try to pass torch on to the next generation, they drop it because they're distracted by the things of this world and they don't catch a hold of it. And as a result, they pay the price for having dropped their faith. And we don't want to see that happen, especially here at Victory Baptist Church. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and outline this passage of Scripture in a very simple outline this morning. And we want to do it, first of all, by looking at verse 1. How do we order our children to have hope in God? Number one is this, verse 1. We must be excellent listeners. We must be excellent listeners. Listen now, that's emphasized in this first verse of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Number two, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now, when you take a look at these words and define them, we see two things about being an excellent listener. Number one, when it talks about giving ear, it is with this idea. It is listening with the intent to do, or listening with the intent to obey. This is about the freshest illustration I can come up with this at the moment, and it just came up this morning. Nika came down to bed with Grandma and Grandpa this morning when she got up, and we were visiting and things, and she was talking about how her clothes were dirty. She didn't have her clothes clean. Now, she told me initially when she came that she bought 10 outfits with her because she'd be here 10 days. She's been here 3, and she didn't have any clean clothes. That's a girl. Maddox is still wearing what he came with. No, not really, okay? So my wife said to her, she said, well, Nika, why don't you go up to your bedroom? And she said, go up to your bedroom and get your dirty clothes and we can run a load of laundry. And she said, but be careful and don't wake your brother. And Nika looked at my wife and she said this. When my wife gave that instruction, Nika said this. My mommy told me to obey you, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. And she went up and got the dirty laundry and brought it back. You see, she was listening with the intent to what? Do. Do you know how many times we fail to listen to God's word with the intent to do? We just kind of listen to it, but half-heartedly. We listen to it and forget it. Well, God is saying, number one, if we want to give our children hope in God, we need to be what? Excellent listeners. Number one, we need to give ear, that is, we need to listen with the intent to do. And number two, we need to go even a step beyond that and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now, what does that mean? Well, I don't know how many of you have ever been through a woods before and you've been looking for deer. Some of you are looking for deer for food. Others are looking for deer to take a picture. Others are looking for deer just to see deer. And it's interesting, when you find a deer, what do you try to do? You try to get as close to it as you possibly can. And as you're sneaking up on that deer, you will notice something interesting. It may be grazing grass and there in the soil. And then all of a sudden, it'll stop, and all of a sudden, it'll lift its head. But then what does it do? Its ears raise up and kind of incline in the direction of the noise that they thought they heard. That's what this word means in verse 2. God is saying this. He is saying, in order for us to pass on to our children the hope in God, we need ourselves to be excellent listeners. When we hear the Word of God, read the Word of God, discuss the Word of God, we need to have that intent to do it. And then secondly, we need to go even beyond that and make sure our ears are perked and make sure our ears are turned in the direction that we can hear the voice of God to obey. We must be excellent learners. Why is that? Well, that prepares us for step number two. And step number two is this. We must be excellent learners. I'm sorry, I said excellent learners already. We need to be excellent listeners so that we can be excellent what? Learners. What do we mean by that? Well, look at verse 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Being a listener on its own has some value. But the real value is being a listener and a learner. And a learner is one that takes what they've heard and adapts it and applies it to their life. If I were to go around the room this morning, I could find that many of you in the fields that you worked in or currently work in were excellent listeners and as a result were excellent learners. You know trades and you have skills. You're able to function in an office and with computers. You're able to design and build things. You're able to give services and meet needs. Why? Well, you didn't just have that naturally. What you did is you listened. And as you listened, you learned. You put it to what? Put it to practice. That's what God is saying here. He wants us to listen to his word and incline our ears toward it, but then he wants us to be good learners. And here's how we see the idea of the learners. Number one, he makes the reference to parables in verse 2. What is a parable? A parable is a teaching device. It's very simple. It's the idea of teaching spiritual things by things that you can see. Somebody's defined a parable in the very simplest fashion to say it's an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. One of the classic parables, of course, is the sower and the seed. Farmers back in the days of Bible days, they knew exactly what it meant to spread seed and to watch it be received by the different soils that it would be spread onto. And so the sower and the seed gives us four different applications of spiritual truth that God desires for us to learn. So God is saying here, if we want to pass our hope onto the next generation, we need to be excellent listeners, but more than that, we need to be excellent learners. We need to understand the parables and teachings of God as they apply to our life today. But I also notice in the second part of that verse, this expression, I will utter dark sayings of old. What are dark sayings of old? Well, the idea of dark sayings is this: teaching that which must be thought over. Teaching that which causes us to put effort into. God can make everything very simple, but when God makes everything extremely simple, there's more danger of us just passing over it. When we have to stop and think is when we become a what? Learner. We've heard that over the years, haven't we? You need to stop and think about what you're doing. You need to stop and think about how that can be done. Children are oftentimes, you need to stop and think. Oftentimes when someone gets into a problem or does something improperly, you'll say, why didn't you get it right? And they will say, I was not what? Thinking. Well, dark sayings make you think. They make you stop and slow down and say, what does God mean here? What does this expression mean? What does this verse mean? What's the Lord trying to teach us? And in the process, we are not only then excellent listeners, but we are then excellent what? Learners. We get a grasp of what God wants and we apply it to our life. But what's the third step? Well, in order for our children to have hope in God, we must be excellent listeners, we must be excellent learners, and then we must be excellent leaders. Look at verse 3. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. The fathers led the children. The fathers and mothers, as they listened to God's word and as they learned God's word and put it to practice in their life, then they became the leaders to help teach their children so that they could have a what? Hope in God. Now think about that. Your life today as a listener, your life today as a learner, your life today as a leader. And I'll tell you something, we've got to be very careful here. We are living in the nasty now and now instead of the beautiful what's coming down the road, to be honest with you. We end up in a situation today where think about this with me, if you would. I'm just trying to be practical here, but think about this. We encourage our children to trust in God, to live for God, to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and commit their soul to God, and to be able to be a testimony for God and things of that nature. And yet we oftentimes talk day by day like God's taken a break somewhere, like he's gone away on vacation somewhere, that the whole world is in the hands of the adversary and God's not really involved in it anymore. You know, we paint a very bleak picture of the future. I said this recently. I said, you know, it's kind of interesting. We're coming up to an election, and I really don't know quite what to do. I can't tell you who I'm going to vote for. That would be improper, and we'd lose our 501c3. So I won't tell you that. But I will say this. I feel like I'm back in Bible days, and I have a choice of voting between Nero or Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know which one to go with. But I do know this, and I say that for this reason. God put Nero in power, and he used Nero. And God put Nebuchadnezzar in power, and he used Nebuchadnezzar. It's not the end of the world, folks. If you have, what's our expression we're looking for today? Hope in God. It's not the end of the world. We can't understand why this is happening. I can think of a dozen people I'd rather have running for office. But again, God is not taking a vacation. God is not asleep. God's not having some ace pulled out of somebody's sleeve. God knows exactly what's taking place, and as we trust him and hope in him, we can have a what? Confidence in him. Think about that. What are we portraying to our children? Are we really listening to God's word? I'm in control. Are we really learning God's word? Seeing him control our life? Are we really being the leaders? Kids, don't fear. God's in control. Let's move forward for the cause and sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If we want to have our children, verse 7, set their hope in God, we need to set the pace by being ourselves excellent listeners, excellent learners, and excellent leaders. But there's another point that we want to look at. We're not done with the passage, are we? If you take a look now, you combine verses 4 and 5, and we see a fourth principle in this passage. And what is the fourth one? We must be excited about our spiritual legacy. If we want our children to set their hope in God, we need to be excited about our spiritual legacy. Watch the way verse 4 and 5 unfolds this. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Also, verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known unto their children. How do we give our children, how do we help our children be excited about their legacy? Well, first of all, we need to define the word legacy. What does it mean? We had a message in regard to government back in the 4th of July, and we gave you a definition then. Let me give it to you again, because I think it's important for us to understand the legacy that we have to pass on to our children so they might hope in God. The word legacy means this. It is a gift by will, a gift given by a will, especially of money or other personal property. So when we give our children a legacy, oftentimes it's by a will. And in that will, we say, my car needs to go to my grandson. My chest of drawers needs to go to my granddaughter. My coin collection needs to go to my son. And my gun collection needs to go to whatever. We kind of designate in the will where the possessions go. Can I hear an amen there? What is the greatest possession and legacy we can give our children? It's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wisdom to live for God. When we talk about a legacy, it is a gift, and that gift that we can give is not necessarily money or not necessarily a material item, but the gift that we can give is what? Other personal property, and there's nothing of personal value more than our knowledge of God and the salvation we have in Christ. How do we pass that legacy on? Well, verse 4 tells us one way, and verse 5 tells us another. In verse 4, we do it by sharing God's works. It says in verse 4 at the end of that verse, and his wonderful works that he hath done. We share the legacy with our children from generation to come. The praises of God, his strength, and his wonderful works that he had done. Young people, I hope you never tire, and I know this can happen because old people tend to repeat themselves. I know that. I'm not old yet, but I've heard many of them do it. But they tend to repeat themselves. And I can imagine, let me just give you an illustration. You know, we go back and we say something like this. We say, well, I remember when the church first started, you know, 20 years ago. And I remember us praying for property. And I remember it looked like we couldn't get any. And then we got the property. And you're sitting there thinking, could I really care about that? I mean, okay, I'm in a church building, it's built, and I've got it, and that's it. No, that's a legacy. Your mother and father sharing their testimony of salvation. It's a legacy. We had our men's fellowship breakfast yesterday, and I was so thankful that Kenny brought this up. He got this idea. He said, you know what? We don't really know each other that well. And he said, so I'm asking men at these prayer breakfasts to share their testimony. And so John was the first one. You always pick on your kid first. So he picked on John. And John gave his testimony yesterday. And I learned all kinds of things about John's legacy. One of them was I didn't realize John had been saved in an early age, wasn't really discipled, wandered, had very, very difficult years. And then it was Brother Lewis that actually took John under his wing and discipled John and made him who he is today. Boy, I didn't know that. That's a legacy. That's not a braggadocious session. That's not giving praise to man. That's just saying, look at the wonderful work God did to bring John into a storefront church that he was afraid was a snake handling church. That's why he sat close to the door and meet this man who had a heart for him and discipled him. That's a legacy. And you know what? The Murphy children are enjoying the fruits of that today. There's nothing wrong with it. We share the works of God. We say, and young people, we need to be keen to that. You know, how did you and mom meet? That's a legacy. How did the Lord bring us together? How did you get saved? You know, what have you seen God do over the years? Whatever. Never tire of hearing the works of God. Notice number two, not only this, in the works of God in verse 4, but also the words of God. Now, you'll see the word works specifically in verse 4. It says, and his wonderful works that he had done. But you'll also see the concept of words in verse 5. That's why I've titled it words. What's the concept of it? For he hath established a testimony, that's talking about words, in Jacob, and appointed a law, that's talking about words in Israel, and he hath commanded, that's talking about words, our fathers, that they should make them, what is it? The testimony, the law, and the commandments, those words known to their what? Children. So the way we pass our legacy onto our children, the way we pass onto them other personal property, and nothing more personal in the way of property that we have as a Christian than our trust in God and faith in Jesus Christ, is that we teach our children the works of God, verse 4, and teach our children the words of God, verse 5. And as my title says, we need to be excited about that. We need to be excited about that. I had opportunity, we think about this, it doesn't happen often, and we need to take more advantage of it. With a family our size, you know, 7 children and sons-in-laws and 10 grandchildren, usually when we get together, it is total chaos. It's just chaos. I mean, everybody's going in every direction and you don't have any real serious, sober conversation to speak of. And I'm getting the burden that we need to have more sober and serious conversation. The other day we had an opportunity, well, let me go back a moment, but a while back we went to a grandson's, this was a couple years ago, we went to a grandson's Boy Scout camp. And on the way back, we're in the car, and I had the unique situation of being in the back seat with my 14-year-old granddaughter. Mom was up front in the passenger seat. My daughter was up front driving. And for some reason, the boys were in the other car and the other girl. And we were in this car, and I'm sitting next to my granddaughter, and all of a sudden, she starts asking me questions. And I start giving her answers. And the questions were about my past. And it was awkward at one stage. We started talking about Vietnam, and I got a little choked up. And she reached over and took my hand. And she just squeezed my hand. I was passing on legacy. And she understood that. The other day, went to a campground. Man, I used to love hiking in campgrounds with my feet and other situations. Today, I can't do that as much. So they know that. So we went up to Jones Camp, Jones Gap. Camp, And boy, that was really sweet. We get up there, you know, and I think, okay, I'm going to do this, Lord. I mean, it hurts, but I'm going to do it. So we get to the clearing, and when we get to the clearing, they said, Poppy, we got a surprise for you. And they pulled out two little bags. In one bag, there were straps you wrap around the tree. In the other bag was a hammock. And they said, this is for you. That wasn't mine, it's theirs. They said, they're going to get me one, I think. But anyway, they put it and they said, just sit in the hammock. I said, oh, it's okay. There's no, sit in the hammock. So I sit in the hammock. Along the way, they got in the creek and they're going down the creek doing all their silliness. And I'm sitting there in the hammock watching. And then all of a sudden, my 16-year-old grandson pulls up a chair and sits by the hammock. And we start talking, sharing a legacy, sharing the works of God, sharing the words of God. What a blessing, folks, to be excited about sharing our legacy with the next generation. Don't just do it begrudgingly and don't just do it with the negative. Be excited about it. Even through the trials and the temptations and the difficulties, look what God has done and where God has brought us. So we see, number one, that we have to be excellent listeners. We see, number two, we need to be excellent learners. We see, number three, we need to be excellent leaders. We see, number four, that we must be excited about our spiritual legacy, passing on to our children, the next generation, the works of God, as well as, verse 5, the words of God. And then lastly, we see this. We must encourage our children to take the baton. We must encourage our children to take the baton. Look at verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Now, the illustration I gave you to begin with is the idea of the torch being passed from the youngest Olympian up to the oldest Olympian. And they did that because it was an honor thing to do. The oldest one was able to light that final dish, and that was wonderful. But I would like to use another illustration to close with, and I think it's more apropos to actually sharing the concept that we're looking at here in Scripture. And that is, when I was in track, I used to love high jumping. I just loved it. I wanted to high jump all the time. But in order to be on the track team, you had to be in two events. And so I had the option of being in the high jump, which I liked, but then I had to run. And I didn't like running. I liked riding, okay? And they didn't have anything like golf cart riding or something like that, so I had to run. So I thought, well, if I got to run, I think I want to run on a relay team because then you run the shortest. I want to run the shortest relay and the shortest team. And so I tried out for it, and I wasn't very good at it, to be honest with you. But I did learn some things, and that is this. When it's not as easy as it looks. How many of you ever run that before? It's not as easy as it looks. You are the man that's got the baton. And you're running with that baton, and you have a fellow waiting there at the line. And that fellow's got his hand out here to get that baton. And when you got a certain thing, there's a mark here and a mark here, and you have to pass that baton at that moment. If you don't, you're going to fall out, and your team's disqualified. And so when you're running up, you have to call out a signal, and that signal causes the man in front of you who's getting ready to receive the baton to start running. He's getting up to speed. And then you've got to get there in time to smack that thing in his hand, and he has to grab it and carry it on to the next one. Boy, a lot of times we would drop that baton. You know, and a lot of times we would get to the point where the poor guy would be at the end and he had to stop because he couldn't go over the line. He'd fall out and then your hands would be wrong and you wouldn't get it in the right place or whatever. It was always, though, a beautiful thing to watch a relay race and watch the person running and say, you know, go. And the guy's running without even looking and smack, and then off he goes. It was really great. That's really what God wants us to do. That's what verse 6 is talking about. He wants this generation to take the baton and pass it to the next generation and then pass it to the next generation until the race is what? Till the race is won. And you know something? We have to be willing to pass it off. But young people, listen carefully. You have to be willing to receive it. You have to be willing to receive it. And when you receive it, you've got to live up to the responsibility to run your best and be the listener and be the learner and be the leader that God wants you to be so you can leave a legacy to your children and then to your children's children, and down the road it goes. Isn't that wonderful? And so this passage of Scripture tells us how to have hope in God. And it outlines it for us, and it gives us the conclusion then in verse 6, that thy generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, those aren't even born yet, they're going to be born, who should rise and declare unto them to their children, that they might, verse 7, we looked at it already, set their hope in God, fix it, stable, and then not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Because if we don't do that, verse 8 comes to play, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast in God. It works, folks, and God wants it to work. Let's not fail him by not doing our part to be sure it works. Is your hope this morning set in God? Are you seeking to impart that to your children this morning, helping them to set their hope in God? Are you being the listener? You being the learner? You being the leader? Do you have a legacy of God's works and a legacy of God's words that you're able to impart to them with excitement that they can carry on in their life as well as the life of their children and their children's children? That's what God desires. And that's what we desire too. Let's win the race. And let's do it God's way. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us this passage of Scripture and making it so practical and applicable for us this morning. And we often know that things that we study in the Scripture may sound easy initially, and when we try to implement them, there's trouble. And I pray, Father, that every parent, every grandparent, every child, even children to be born, would benefit by what we've looked at in your passage this morning, that we would keep these principles in mind as we seek from one generation to the next, set our hope in God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.